as a streaming internet radio show, either of you at any time you like, please pick up the phone and call the toll-free number. It's there at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. I'll put you on the air. I'll put your members on the air. These are stories that desperately need to be told. You would be amazed at the number of emails and the interest that I'm receiving from this. In addition to that, the archive for this program will be posted by some point tomorrow morning. I will email you the direct link. Christian, I don't know if I have your mail, but I'm sure Peterson will forward it to you. Yep. So that you'll have a direct link to the archive. And the archive will also be available at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You're welcome to download an archive, that archive, and edit it and use it in any way that you wish. And so I really...
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush could be getting an additional $70 billion from Congress to fight the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Democratic lawmakers say they have no other choice in order to finalize a budget for the fiscal year. A mandate for U.S. troops to return from Iraq by late 2008 will not be part of that package. President Bush vetoed the second consecutive bill that would have expanded government-provided health insurance for children. An earlier similar bill was also vetoed because Mr. Bush said both pieces of legislation had fundamental flaws. Another veto may be in the offing for an upcoming energy bill, as Senate Democrats refuse to remove language that slashes tax breaks for big oil and gas companies. The bill passed the House last week, expected to pass the Senate on Thursday. President Bush maintains that the legislation unfairly targets the oil industry. Former CIA directors George Tenet and Porter Goss will testify in a congressional probe focused on destruction of interrogation videotapes of terror suspects. The two men have become key figures in an expanding investigation into the possible cover-up of harsh interrogation techniques described by some as torture. Meantime, current CIA Director Michael Hayden says he had limited knowledge in the matter, but that his agency could have done a much better job in keeping Congress informed about how those tapes were handled. A human rights investigator who visited Guantanamo Bay Prison last week is debating whether detainees' lawyers could mount an adequate defense. During today's address to the UN Human Rights Council, Martin Shannon said his attendance at a hearing for an accused Al-Qaeda guard illustrated a series of problems in providing fair trial at a distant military base. The first formal peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians reportedly did not go well today. In the first formal negotiations in 7 years, accusations and insults flew in today's session. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown says that Allied forces are winning the battle against insurgents in Afghanistan. Brown also maintains that no negotiations will be held with Taliban leaders, that they will be isolated and eliminated instead. Britain will add £450 million in financial aid to troops, the same as $1 billion U.S. dollars. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
Today, top banks worldwide announced an emergency injection of cash into short-term funding markets. Involved are the U.S. Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, Bank of England, and Swiss National Bank. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan says the subprime mortgage crisis was, quote, an accident waiting to happen, unquote. In today's Wall Street Journal, Greenspan conceded that low U.S. interest rates set during his tenure may have contributed to a bubble in current real estate prices. Foreclosures last month jumped nearly 32% from October. More than 72,000 Americans lost their homes during the month, for the most part as a result of the subprime mortgage crisis. Despite a jump in borrowing costs, the number of U.S. mortgage applications rose last week to the highest level since July of 2005, boosted by the demand to purchase and to refinance existing loans. In a major defeat to the U.S. auto industry, a federal judge ruled that California can restrict greenhouse gas emissions from cars and trucks. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 41 points to end at 13,473. The NASDAQ up 18 points at 2671. The S&P 500 up 9 points at 1486. And there's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Ask any musician. The best music happens when the sheet music gets put aside and the gang just sits down and jams. Same thing here on The Horn. America's best liberal talk hosts free-forming together for an hour a night. Welcome to The Horn Section. Right here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. Now let's crank up the jam. Here's Bob Kincaid.
I couldn't miss two of these in a row. That would have just been plain wrong. But I also, last night, frankly, look, I wasn't up to doing another horn solo. You know how that goes. And I'm not up to doing a horn solo this evening, either, to tell you the truth. So I ain't gonna. As you know, the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio host, Peter Godbold, has been in in the midst of a miserable, some sort of server revamp thing that I don't even begin to comprehend. And John Fox is away from the microphone this evening. So that leaves pretty much me. Well, almost. Mystery guest, sign in, please.
Hello.
Yep. So I'm not doing it entirely solo this evening. By doing it, I mean, you know, this broadcast. But I am happy to be here because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that was left on the plate after this evening's edition of Prayer Meeting. Not the least of which is something that I think will appeal to, or something that my cohort can address. On the top of the list this evening, headline, Bush vetoes kids' health insurance bill. From the Associated Press, President Bush vetoed legislation Wednesday that would have expanded government-provided health insurance for children. His second slapdown, wow, when did that get into the journalism style book? His second slapdown of a bipartisan effort in Congress to dramatically increase funding for a popular program. We consulted noted political philosopher Jeff Spicoli for his reaction. Here it is.
You dick!
Basically, yep, thank you, Mr. Spicoli. What was that again, Mr. Spicoli?
You dick!
Yeah, that's what we thought you said. And brevity is the soul of wit, isn't it? What more can you say about a man who takes a big steaming dump on America's children right before Christmas? Really, what more can you say?
You dick!
That's enough. Bush has been in office 7 years. He's had 7 vetoes. Interestingly, however, all but one of them have happened since Democrats took control of Congress. He had to act by today, or the bill would have become law without his signature. So, quietly, privately, without a Rose Garden ceremony or anything, George W. Bush stuck the shaft to America's children again.
You dick!
You know what I mean? Yeah. He said the bill was unacceptable because, like the first one, it allows adults into the program, would cover people in families with incomes above the U.S. median, and raises taxes. This bill does not put poor children first, and it moves our country's health care system in the wrong direction, you know, toward coverage. Ultimately, our nation's goal should be to move children who have no health insurance to a little island somewhere where they can starve to death. No. Who have no health insurance to private coverage, not move children who already have private health insurance to government coverage. One more time, Mr. Spicoli.
You dick!
Really. And, what do you think about that?
Oh, Uncle Scrooge, does that mean we don't get our health care for Christmas?
More, please!
Well, he did do Christmas in Washington with Dr. Phil and his wife, Robin.
When?
Tonight. And gave the presents.
Watching the satanic TV box again, are you, Agnes?
Well, when you're flat on your back, there's not a whole lot else to do, and you might as well torture the children while you're at it. Look, children, this is our president. Look what he's doing. Isn't that nice?
Hey, babies, look over there. See the jug-eared, pig-eyed little lout on the TV screen? He hates your stinking guts.
Well, it's always nice to see what Dr. Phil has to say.
Did Dr. Phil opine?
Oh, I don't even want to go there. I was already sick. I didn't need any help.
So, once again, the Congress tried to roll over and get its belly scratched. It's not like the bill was, you know...
Okay. Puppy sounds.
Yeah, I'll scratch your belly too, Agnes. It had a veto-proof majority in the Senate, but, you know, we've still got a few too many freaks in the Congress. Most notably, well, you know, they couldn't, you know, these repiglickins couldn't be bothered to vote in favor of, you know, giving health insurance coverage to children who need it. And again, you know, the jug-eared, pig-eyed little lout who inhabits 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue describes it because, you know, it plays to his base. Anything, it's for poor children. As long as he describes it as being for the poor, it's kind of like, the Mississippi Gulf Coast or the Lower Ninth Ward. You know, who gives a damn? They're poor. And, of course, the Republicans understand that poor is code for brown-skinned. The laminates or whatever from Willard Romney's mythology. So, you know, it's bad for, it doesn't, poor children, screw them.
Wait, do they all have health coverage?
They who?
Oh, Congress, the President, the Senate. Everybody's got health coverage, right?
Right.
But the President is the father of our country, right?
No, that was George Washington.
No, come on.
That's the other George W.
No, you got to follow along with me.
Okay.
He's the father of our country.
But he's not.
Come on, follow
along. No, I will not tell you that George W. Bush is the father of our country. I won't do it. You can't make me.
You got to play along. So, if he's the father of our country, then we're dependents. So, that means that we get put on his health coverage.
But that would be wrong because, you see, that
but
moves...
that's private.
No, that moves us away from... That moves us away from putting children on private, for-profit health care, which helps my buddies in my base, and instead moves them to government health care, which does absolutely nothing because, you know, government can't do nothing right. Yeah, we've already proved that with Katrina now, didn't we?
Okay, so with their
what
income,
do I got to do?
So with their income, they basically should be taken off government health care.
Oh, I like that part.
I wondered where you were going to fall in there.
Well, it's the whole blessed... George Bush is the father of... Oh, come on. But anyway, while Dear Leader was putting the wood to America's children today...
Ooh.
Representative Steve King, Iowa... need a hug. Representative Steve King of Iowa was pushing hard for legislation. I mentioned this during the program earlier this evening. Legislation that would recognize the, quote, importance of Christmas and the Christian faith. Yeah. So he shows up on Fox News. This is too good not to play for you. And I'm a gonna. He has a little hissy. Just a little on-air hissy. Hissy in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, last October there was a resolution, might have been September, a resolution honoring Ramadan. And then a resolution came to honor Diwali. That's a celebration that recognizes four Indian religions, including Hindus.
Right.
And as I looked at that, I recognized that we're a Christian nation founded on Christian principles. And we're coming up to Christmas time while we're watching a lot of the activists, the liberal activists, the secularists in this country, who are trying to eradicate Christ from Christmas and going so far that if we've associated Santa Claus and Christmas trees with Christ, they want to take that out of the public square, too.
Sure.
And so we are, since we're a Christian nation and some of the foundations and the core of Western civilization is Christianity, this is the time of the year to say so. Our founders went to church and worshipped in the Christian religion.
Which one, you moron? You mean Thomas Jefferson, who rewrote the Bible to pull out all the miraculous BS? Which church did he go to? Or are you talking about Ben Franklin, who was actually a member of the local synagogue there in Philadelphia? Or are you talking about John Adams, who was a Unitarian? And, you know, they'll let anybody celebrate anybody's holiday because, you know, it's not that they don't believe anything. I mean, you can be a Unitarian and not believe anything. But, you know, they pretty much believe everything. It's all Unitarian. Get it?
In the Capitol building for the first 60 years, we have a pastor, and we start out every session with prayer in the House and the Senate. It's time we stood up and said so and said to the rest of America, be who you are and be confident, and let's worship Christ and let's celebrate Christmas for the right reasons.
Be who you are. Now, you've got that, right? I mean, did that go all the way in, or is it just... sort of, is it doing the Star Trek thing with your ears? And, you know, the captain, it was terrible. They put things in their ears. Is it just doing that? Is it just hurting your brain on the very outside, the cerebral cortex? It's time that we said to everybody, be happy, be confident, and celebrate Christianity.
Celebrate whatever you want to celebrate.
Oh, my God.
It's all good.
So, yeah, never mind you dirty Buddhists and you filthy Muslims and you hateful Hindus and God knows, you atheists. We're coming for you.
You need to celebrate Christ.
Naysayers didn't make it to the floor to debate last night.
Yeah.
And so there were just a few of them that came out to vote no.
Right. And, Congressman, we're looking at those who did vote no. Gary Ackerman, Democrat from New York. Yvette Clark, Democrat from New York. Diane DeGette, a Democrat from Colorado. Alcee Hastings, Democrat from Florida. Barbara Lee, a Democrat from California. Jim McDermott, Democrat from Washington. Pete Stark, Democrat from California. Lynn Woolsey, a Democrat from California. Bobby Scott, a Democrat from Virginia. No Republicans voted against it.
And it was all Democrats and some of the more liberal Democrats in the Congress.
Democrats. It was Democrats. You could see the little horns a-poking out of their hair.
They came out and voted no. Now, I would be very interested in their rationale. Since we didn't hear from them in the debate last night, they just came to the floor and voted no. I would like to know how they can vote yes on Ramadan, yes on the Indian religions, and no on Christianity when the foundation of this nation and our American culture is Christian.
Wait. I think we're about to hear from Mr. Spicoli again.
You dick!
Yeah. Let's get this clear. Hindus are in a minority in this country.
Muslims are in a minority in this country. Jews are in a minority in this country. And it might be, I mean, if you're going to talk about wasting congressional time with stupid little resolutions like this, you might file all of those three under, you know, this is a congressional statement that we promise not to crucify you or burn crosses in your yard or, you know, let the pig-licking freak faithful drag you into the street and put a logging chain on you and drag you behind a truck because of your religion. That because this is a country that is secular in nature, we can honor all religions. Tell me why the majority religion needs to be reassured.
Well, I wonder why, considering that there is troops, when there are troops away from home now, why is this ever coming up? Why is this resolution being brought forward?
Well, because they're fighting for Jesus.
No, no. They're not fighting for Jesus. They're not fighting for Christianity.
Heathen.
Yeah, well, we know. I'm not ashamed. But it seems like there are a lot more things on the plate that's more important than Christmas.
Such as?
The health care issue was, you know, kind of important, and
not
they
as,
let it
not
go
as
by.
Health care issue is not as important as Jesus.
Well, I think Jesus would vote for health care.
No, because Reverend Mike Huckabee Dunn told us that he didn't say nothing about getting executed or capital punishment while he was hanging on the cross, so that means he approves of executions.
And
you missed that part of the program, didn't you?
Yes, I did. So martyrdom is a good thing?
If it's a Christian martyrdom.
Does that mean the demonic ones just hang on?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds to me like everybody's Skippy and Thorazine darts are, you know, available upon request. No, that's not a form of terroristic act there. I don't want anybody to think I want to drug people, although it sounds like medication might be in order.
Well, Alcy Hastings responded to Congressman King. You know, that's the thing. I keep looking at these people, and I see behind them their congressional districts. And congressional districts are supposed to be apportioned in such a way as, you know, just about every member of Congress represents the same number of people. And this guy's from Iowa, and I so badly, dear, wish that we had traveling money. Because I want to drive to this guy's district in Iowa and just go door to door and ask you, you know, ask people, why did you elect this dick?
Maybe it was between the devil and the deep blue sea. Maybe that's why they elected him.
I mean, just tick off a laundry list for him. You know, we got an occupation going in Iraq that ain't going well. They're trying to gin up a war with Iran, even though there's evidence that says that, you know, pretty well convincing evidence that says Iran's not trying to build a nuclear bomb or anything, and that we have no beef with them. You know, we've got a, like I said, a crippling health care crisis. We got kids who are going to drop dead because of the actions of George W. Bush. We got, we got a housing bubble, an economy on the verge of collapse that may be of biblical proportions by the time it gets done. Why did you elect this fool? I mean, why? And, you know, it's not just these people in Iowa. It's the freaks that elect that goon Gingrey in Georgia and any number of these people. But Alcy Hastings, who was one of the no voters, just no, responded to King. He said, quote, "It's another sad attempt by conservative Republicans to skew the line between church and state. America is not a Christian nation. It is a nation of Christians, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and everyone in between." I would go so far with Mr. Hastings as to suggest those not only in between, but outside of. There are a bunch of us who want nothing whatsoever to do with organized Christianity, organized Islam, organized Hinduism, organized Buddhism, or organized Judaism, because it's all poison. There are some of us who want to be outside all that garbage. But anyway, Hastings said, our diversity is our strength, and those who seek to use religion as a litmus test are doing a disservice to all of us. As for the assault on Christianity, all someone has to do is visit a shopping mall, turn on the radio or TV, or look at the Christmas trees sitting on the front lawns of the White House and the United States Capitol to realize that no such assault is underway. And by the way, just in case, if you want to see the clip, it's over at thinkprogress.org. Both Senator John McCain and Mike Huckabee. Now see, even Think Progress does it. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. No, folks. I'll send you an email memo tomorrow. Time to stop referring to him as former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. He is current and present Reverend Mike Huckabee. And both of those freaks have declared that America is a Christian nation. I'm sick of this, Agnes. I am sick to bleeding death of this.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, I think first and foremost, people are good people. Religion comes secondary. There are good Christians. There are good...
Well, sure there are, but it's not the Christianity, the Islam, or the Hinduism, or any of the rest of them that make them good. They are good because they started out good.
Exactly. And so the assault on Christmas and Christianity, are they saying that this is what makes a good person? That if everybody conforms to this norm...
They actually do say that. They say that people are good because they have the threat of an eternal hell or an eternal heaven hanging over their heads. I mean, look, these... Honest to God, Agnes, I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Representative King is going to heaven. He knows it. You ask him, he'll tell you.
Right.
Reverend Huckstorby is going to heaven. You ask him, he'll tell you. He's going.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain, who dropped God knows how much ordnance from 40,000 feet on, you know, little mud huts in Vietnam and killed peasants by the hundreds, he's going to heaven. God likes him. Okay, well, and the list goes on. Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, already there.
Well, you know,
Billy Graham, on his way. No matter how many people, Oral Roberts, on his way. No matter how many people these evangelists have shafted out of money that could have been used, you know, for food, power, clothing, things like that. These are all people going to heaven.
Well,
this is just straight up opinion.
Okay.
Do you want to go to a heaven that would let Jerry Falwell in it?
Well, let me start by saying I'm not sure if I'm on the naughty or nice list. I don't think, you know, you go to heaven for the climate and to hell for the company. And I'm sure I won't be alone. But in general, I don't think that a certain religion is going to get me anywhere. My beliefs,
I know, but I just want a straight answer. Would you, I mean, you're standing there at the pearly gates, you're kind of peeping over the fence rail, you look at St. Peter and goes, and is that Jerry Falwell in there? And he goes, well, yeah, it is. Then let me, then just quit fooling around with the Book of the Lamb and all that BS, and just, you know, open the trap door and let me go, because I don't want to be in there with that freakish, hateful hobgoblin.
Well, now, see... I guess I'm just a malicious, vengeful person, because if he's there...
I certainly didn't say that.
No, I did.
And you can't put that in the grudge closet.
Okay. All right. But if he was there and I happened along, I'm sure we would get into a really good conversation, and I'd be finding the downward slide and shoving him out. So there you go.
Well, but I know you, and you think that you know where Jerry Falwell is.
I don't care, if
there's a hell, Jerry Falwell's in it, and your only hope for the afterlife is to be able to sit outside the gates of hell and tease that little bastard with ice cubes, right?
Selling lemonade at the gates. Yeah.
Hot enough for you, Jer. Why don't you ask your buddy Reagan if it's hot enough? No, so, you know, we start out, you know, for what he... You want to bet that this goober king was one of the ones who voted against children's health care at the same time that he's able to waste time, your time, my time, the people's time, on this stupid Christmas resolution. You know where Representative King needs to be, and I don't mean hell. No. He needs to be somewhere that he can learn to appreciate the lyrics to this song.
It was Christmas in prison, and the food was real good. We had turkey and pistols carved out of wood. And I dream of her always, even when I don't dream. Her name's on my tongue, and her blood's in my strength. Wait a while, eternity. Oh, my nature's got nothing on me. Come to me, run to me, come to me now. We're rolling, my sweetheart, we're blowing. She reminds me of a chess game with someone I admire, all a picnic in the rain after a prairie fire. Her heart is as big as this whole goddamn jail, and she's sweeter than saccharin at a drugstore sale. Wait a while, eternity. Old Mother Nature's got nothing on me. Run to me, come to me now. We're rolling, my sweetheart, we're flowing, by God. Searchlight in the big yard swings round with the gun, and spotlights, snowflakes like the dust in the sun. It's Christmas in prison, there'll be music tonight. I'll probably get homesick, I'll love you, good night. Wait a while, eternity. Oh, my nature's got nothing on me. Come to me, run to me, come to me now. We're rolling, my sweetheart, we're flowing, my God.
Thank you very kindly, Mr. John Prine. The idea of Republicans spending Christmas in prison is a fond idea for me. It's like some sort of postmodern Currier and Ives print, as far as I'm concerned. But it ain't gonna happen, because if you've been paying attention, I know our good friend Mark Levine did a show a couple of days ago saying, "Please, Congress, please don't do anything. You don't have to roll over or nothing. Just don't do nothing, please." Well, they're rolling. We're rolling, by God, just like John Prine says. And it's depressing. It turns out with the children's health insurance bill, apparently Harry Reid approached George Bush to ask for negotiations during a ceremony for the Dalai Lama in the Capitol Rotunda back in mid-October. The president told Reid, "No, I'm not moving. Meet with my staff." Now, basically Jim Manley is a spokesman for Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. He said, the fact is that Senator Reid and Speaker Pelosi asked to meet with the president to discuss giving children the health care they need, and he blew him off by telling him to talk to his staff. Now he's going to veto it for a second time without negotiating once.
So what do you do?
Well, if it's the conventional wisdom, dear, what you do is you tell America that, you know, well, we'll get them in November.
No. Let's not go conventional. What do you do?
Oh, no, no, no. You can't say that on the air, dear.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know what you're thinking. I know what I'm thinking.
Okay, maybe I'm not thinking what you're thinking. What about impeachment?
Well, there's that. But, you know, Dennis Kucinich is out there being the bravest man in America. But, you know, while we can get the press to go absolutely dampen its collective maiden forms over Ron Paul and the Reverend Huxterby, we can't seem to get a groundswell of support from the chattering class, if you will, about actually supporting the Constitution of the United States. So now that's kind of out.
Okay, well, just out of curiosity, since they're not going against and not trying to do something for, that makes them accessories to the fact.
Oh, yeah, no. They're collaborators, sure.
So impeach them, too. Impeach them all and let God sort them out.
Well, they can't very well impeach themselves. I mean, now, come on.
Well, if they were honest and decent people, they would, wouldn't they? Or they'd be doing the right thing. I'm sorry, you either do your job or you don't. And if you don't, then you get fired.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, is anybody doing their job? A few. Should they be rewarded for it? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm talking about a utopian society, aren't I? Something to where people really mean what they say. And it's not $20 words coming out of a $2 whore's mouth.
I'm glad you said $2 whore and not me. That kind of lets me off the hook for the sexism, but...
Well, I'm not being a sexist. It is what it is. If it stinks, what do you call it? No, I'm not going to say the word.
Well, around here, dear, you'll note we've taken to calling it Cheney.
Well, the fact of the matter is, the elderly can't afford to pay their medical bills. The children can't afford to get health care coverage. I mean, so what? We all just kind of sit around and go, oh, it's terrible, it's terrible. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be very quiet. And I'll wait until November and hope my vote really counts.
You know, you remind me of something this all does. Because unlike George W. Bush, I have at least some kind of a comprehension of the real-world effects that vetoing this thing has. Last night, for 2 hours on the program, you might have heard our good friend Kate, who's working on the Gulf Coast, and our new friend Ann Keating from Chicago, who has worked on the Gulf Coast. And Ann brought up the fact that, I believe it was Ann, that she had interviewed a mother who had a child, Agnes. And it's not fair because you haven't heard this story before, so go ahead and get puddle up and get weepy if you want to.
Aww.
No, and just because you do doesn't mean you're a marshmallow either.
I'm not a marshmallow.
Because, you know, stop it. But the fact, I mean, if you can hear, you know, if you can hear this kind of thing and not get, you know, either sick or just raving, ball batting the walls, screaming angry, or just cry in anguish, something wrong. I believe it was Ann who told us the story of the woman who has, I believe, a teenage child who has undergone a kidney transplant. And there's about a dozen drugs the child is on. You know, anti-rejection, that
right.
kind of stuff.
Immunosuppressants.
And the doc pulled back and took it from like 12 drugs down to 7. And the mama was kind of grateful because that meant that there were only two drugs that she had to pay for out of pocket. Well, once the children's health insurance program goes away,
she won't have them
at all.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to the child? What's going to happen to all the? You think there's one kid in that predicament in America?
Oh, there's a lot of children in that predicament in America.
Along the Gulf Coast, you know, Kate pointed out that there's a sort of sickness down there that, you know, and everybody has it. It's the Gulf Coast cough.
Yeah.
Everybody's sinuses are plugged. Everybody's, you know,
primordial ooze will do that. It brings all kinds of things, and we love you, Kate.
So, you know, there's one person like that. If there's one, there's two. If there's two, there's 2,000. And that rotten, evil, no good son of a bitch
is taking it away. He's taking people's
lives. So, you know, what do we do? The children who need it literally to stay alive, when they pass, do we just stack their corpses like cordwood in front of the White House?
No. Listen. There's
No, I'm sorry. There
no,
will
Wait. This is the fundamental problem. Okay, why wait until it happens? Why wait? What is the problem?
Can you make the medicine, Agnes?
No, but by God, the drug company can.
Who do you think was putting pressure on the White House to keep this bill from going through?
Oh, I'm sure I know. And you know what? I'm not going to go into exactly what I'm thinking. But by God, there's a means to an end. And you better find it before the bodies are piling up, because they're out there anyway. They're out there all over the place. We got people coming home from Iraq. They're getting screwed. We got babies getting screwed. We got
yeah, that's another thing.
Screwed. That's the whole point of what I'm saying. Why wait until people are just being piled up? Like
I don't know. To a certain extent, you're closing the door after the barn door after the horse is gone, Agnes. Because one of the things that Ann mentioned last night, she's from Chicago. She says they've already got homeless Iraq vets on the streets there.
Yeah. No, see, I'm not closing the door after the horse got out, honey. I was there before the door was ever opened. That's the whole point. Where is everybody else?
I don't know. I honest to God don't know.
But there are good people. There are people out there. And I don't care. You know, I know that it's political, but folks, you need to take a look at every single denomination of politics there are. There are good people in every sect, and there are bad people in every one. The bad people need to go find another job. The good people need to be rewarded, and there need to be replacements.
Well,
and we need to take back what was ours in the first place. If this is our country, then it's damn well time that people get back into the saddle and take back what's theirs, because it's not going to get any better.
Hey, what's coming up on American Idol?
Bite me. I don't know.
So today, George Bush effectively raped the children of America of their health care. Yesterday, you know how he celebrated the holidays?
Do I want to know?
By granting pardons. 29 pardons Bush granted yesterday.
Charles Manson among them?
No. He also reduced the prison sentence of one more. Let's see. On the list this year was William Charles Jordan Jr., 64-year-old retiree from Dover, Pennsylvania, who was pardoned for his role in a college and NFL football gambling ring. Jordan said he didn't want his 8 grandchildren to know he was a felon, so he obtained the necessary paperwork through his congressman. "It's a nice Christmas present," he said. I don't know what the odds were on getting one. I just sent the stuff in and hoped. Oh, my God. He, yes, he did say that. I don't know what the odds were.
Did Pete Rose get his pardon?
No, sorry. Jeffrey James Bruce of Chandler, Oklahoma, was convicted in 1994 of possessing stolen mail. He did 5 years probation and paid $4,789 in restitution. He's a pardoned man now. Jackie Ray Claiborne, he's from Deer, Arkansas. He got 5 months in prison, 2 years of supervised release, and $3,000 in fines on pot charges in 1993. John Fornaby of Boynton Beach, Florida, was engaged in a conspiracy to distribute cocaine in 1991. He skated. Melton Harrell of Cairo, Georgia, got 2 years in 1976 for stealing government property. That's 2 years probation. Saul Kaplan of Scranton, Pennsylvania, was sentenced in 1992 for violating the Federal Election Campaign Act and was fined $25,000. He walked. John F. McDermott, Moortown, Vermont, 1995 conviction for receiving kickbacks in defense procurement contracts. He walked. Never served a day in prison. 2 years probation. William James Norman of Tallahassee, Florida, 1970, he was convicted for possessing and running an unregistered distillery that did not carry the proper signage and illegally produced alcoholic drinks made from mash.
Sorry, I can't say anything about the
moonshiner. Moonshiner George Bush. At this point, we've got a moonshiner, a coke dealer, and a pot dealer. They all got a break, and I guess I bet a couple of, and an odds maker. Everybody getting a congratulatory phone call from George W. Bush. I hear you make some good sour mash. James Albert Bodendick of New Athens, Illinois, 1959, sentenced to 3 years probation for transporting a stolen vehicle across state lines.
Wow.
Glenis Terrell Osborne, Dallas, Georgia, 1990, sentenced for possessing a stolen motor vehicle. He did 3 years probation, 90 days at a community correction center, and paid a $2,000 fine. He got the walk. He also reduced the 1992 prison sentence of crack cocaine dealer Michael Dwayne Short of Hyattsville, Maryland. He'll get out February 8th now after serving 15 years of his 19-year sentence.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Wow. So, you know, it goes on and on and on. Those people get a break. They got their break yesterday. But there will be no break for millions upon millions of little children in America whom George Bush today told to get stuffed, or better yet, probably drop dead. Because at the end of the day, that's what they want. Drop dead. And I'm proud to be an American. Sorry.
Don't do that.
I know. Everybody hates it when I do that.
Do you remember years ago when Margie was in kindergarten and I played Santa Claus?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Do you remember me telling you about the one child who sat on my lap and the only thing he wanted for Christmas was socks?
Yeah, sadly I do.
Well, you know, I came home and I told Bob then that it destroyed me. It broke my heart. And yes, the little boy did get socks for Christmas and a whole lot more. But to have a child look up and say, I'm sick, my ear hurts, my throat hurts, I have a fever. And that's just the mild part. And you need antibiotics. Something as simple as an antibiotic. You know, think back to World War II. when there wasn't enough antibiotics to go around, and our men died from it. Well, now it's going to be our children dying because they don't have access to medical treatment. Free clinics? Free clinics usually are funded by government funding. So, what does that mean? You're not going to have the free clinics. The clinics run by the churches. You better hope you really have a good Christian person there running
it. Oh, glory, let me lay hands upon you and feel the healing waves of faith flowing through you. There's your Christian free clinic.
Because treatment doesn't come with a condition. Treatment comes from just wanting to do something good and help another human being. Doesn't matter what you believe in or who you are or what you've done. It's not a judgmental act. It's a humane act. And it just depends on what people want. If you want it bad enough, you'll work for it. Because there is nothing in this life that's free. And more so now than ever. We live in the land of the brave, home of the free. I kind of see manacles in my future if this keeps up. Because they'll chain me to a wall somewhere. Because if it comes down to my children and their well-being, whomever the person that keeps me from getting them treatment, better be calling on whatever deity they believe in, because they're going to need some help.
I'll tell you what, I really, there have been some amazing stories come out in the last couple of days that Peter hasn't been here to handle on Strictly Confidential.
I miss you, Peter.
And this latest, and I know people are probably getting sick of me talking about Mike Huckabee, but see, I grew up in this filth. I grew up with this in the cult that is the Southern Baptist Church. And this man scares me like you can't imagine. A little bit more has come out from his 1992 questionnaire with the Associated Press. You're going to love this one. Oh, friends and neighbors, sit down for this one, because this one is, I mean, fun. Maybe it may be the only time, you know, even a stopped clock is right twice a day. And this is, you know, this is the Reverend Mike's flashing, 1200. He answered one of the questions in the questionnaire by saying that the U.S. shouldn't try to kill Saddam Hussein in Iraq.
What?
That was 1992. But that's okay. There was, believe me, that one little moment of sort of errant sanity was more than drowned out by the just, you know, craziness. They asked him back in 1992 about gays in the military. I love it when you make that noise. And he said he didn't just reject gays in the military, but he had to go further.
Oh, no.
You know, first law of holes, when you're in one, stop digging, and nobody ever taught that to the Reverend Mike at the Occidental Baptist College and Herpetological Nature Park.
So how deep was this hole?
I believe, talking about gays in the military, I believe to try to legitimize that which is inherently illegitimate would be a disgraceful act of government. I feel homosexuality is an aberrant, unnatural, and sinful lifestyle. Ha, glory! Ha! And we now know it can pose a dangerous public health risk. Praise Jesus.
No, it's not homosexuality that poses the risk. It's ignorance.
Stupidity's terminal, dear.
Yeah. Just goes bone deep there, doesn't it?
Now, the fun thing is, and it's curious, you know, because I had a conversation on my show earlier this evening with Eric Bollert, one of the senior advisors for Media Matters for America. And Eric was talking about the fact that there hasn't been much digging on Reverend Mac done. And you wonder how the press is going to respond. For those of you of a certain age, you remember when Gary Hart, who was and is a brilliant man, was grooming for a run for the presidency, and he dared the press to follow him and catch him philandering, which they did. Well, the Reverend Huxterby has said, nobody's going to find some YouTube moments of me saying something radically different than what I'm saying today.
Oops.
So the question is, Reverend Mac, do you still believe, I'm sorry, feel? He was feeling, not believing. He's talking about, when he starts talking about homosexuality, he has to feel.
Leave it alone, Bob.
Reverend Mac, do you still, quote, feel homosexuality is an aberrant, unnatural, and sinful lifestyle? And is a dangerous public health risk? Do you still feel? No, he's believing now because Saddam Hussein wasn't gay, so he doesn't get to feel. He believes, quote, the U.S. should not kill Saddam Hussein or anyone else. And yet he's pro-death penalty. Go figure.
It's an epiphany.
Let's see. No women's in the combat area.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Agnes, you're good. I'm so glad you're here tonight.
I just love being here.
Can't have no women's in the combat, quote, because of my strong traditional view that women's should be treated with respect and dignity and not subject to the kinds of abuses that could occur in combat. And, well, you know, maybe he's been proven right. Not so much by the other side, but by the number of women who have been raped while serving in the United States military in Iraq. Not by Iraqis, certainly not by Saddam or Udi and Kudi or what did Tinky and Winky or whatever his son's names were, but by, you know, the soldiers that they're serving with. Nah. And, by the way, for those of you who ain't married up and you're just living together out of wedlock, that's demeaning to the highest expression of human love and commitment. I reject it as an alternate lifestyle because it robs people of the highest possible relationship one can experience, marriage.
And that's where a man says some words over you and makes it right?
No, that's where the state sanctions you're joining together in basically
No, that's where the state makes about $55 for a license and some blood work. And then you go find your favorite person to say the words over you, and you get to put the matching manacles on each other and say, we're wed. And that way, if you have to get unwed, it costs a whole lot more and the state gets a little more.
Wants a waiting period for abortion, but not to buy a gun. He's charming, man. He is just charming. He ran afoul of Ryan White's mama. Remember Ryan White?
Yes.
Because of his comments in 1992 that basically, you know, you can only get AIDS by being part of that aberrant, sinful lifestyle.
Yeah, tell the Red Cross that.
She said, it's so alarming to me. He was asked about the White family, and he said, I would be very willing to meet with them. I would tell them we've come a long way in research, in treatment. I certainly never would want to say anything that would be hurtful to them or anyone else now that I'm running for president. I'm sorry, that ends with anyone else. I would have great regret and anxiety if I thought my comments were hurtful or in any way added to the already incredible pain that families have felt regardless of how they contracted AIDS.
Well,
Holy crap. One
must think before one speaks.
All right, so that's it for the horn section tonight. John Fox is not in, but you know what?
I love you guys.
I'm going to try to make